We are beginning Masechet Berachot. Masechet Berachot is the first Masechet in Shas, and our goal is to try and cover ground with Halacha, and we'll have to decide as we go along if we're going to see Tosfos inside or summarize Tosfos outside. Our learning is with the understanding that you see each page with Rashi or art scroll before we see the page, because otherwise it's going to go too deep, too fast. Meaning I can only work at the pace that you guys want on the condition that you prepare. I'm not spending as much time explaining Pshat as I would if I assumed you didn't know Pshat in advance. And I'm saying this for our listeners, because if they approach this without preparing Pshat, then they're going to have to re-listen to the learning a few times, and even then I'm not sure that they'll be able to follow what we're learning. So let's begin. The first chapters focus on the mitzvah of reading Shema. The mitzvah of reading Shema, the Gemara understands, stems from the pasuk we say in Shema itself, "V'hoyu advarim ha'ele." These words of Shema should be "Alev avecha" on your heart. "V'shinantam levanecha," you'll tell them over to your children. You're going to say "V'dibartabam." You're going to say these words of Shema. When you lie down and when you get up. And the Gemara understood that when you sit at home and you go on the road, that's talking about learning Torah in general. Or that's talking about the state you're in when you are when you lie down or when you wake up, then you will read Shema, provided that you are at home or on your way. But what happens if you're in the middle of another mitzvah? Then you don't have to say Shema. And from here we derive the concept of Osek v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. So the Gemara understood, according to some opinions, that the obligation to say the first two parshiot of Shema is biblical. Because the Torah says, v'dibartabam, you'll say these words, v'shoch v'chov kumecha, when you lie down and when you wake up. So every night and every morning, when you lie down, that's referring to the night time, and b'kumecha, when you wake up, is the morning time. We have a biblical obligation to read Shema. We will see that it is a machloket in the Gemara, whether reading Shema is biblical or not, whether this derivation from the Pasuk is really a derivation. Is it a limud or is it an asmachta? Is it a biblical obligation or is it a rabbinic obligation where we found an allusion to it in the Pasuk? Machloket is in the Gemara. But the generally accepted opinion, and the opinion we're going to be working off of throughout most of the first three chapters, is that it is biblical. So our Mishnah begins with a question. From when do we read Shema in the evenings? And the Mishnah answers, from the time that Kohanim enter to eat their teruma. The Torah tells us that a person who becomes tameh, let's say a person had relations with his wife, the second a person emitted seed, so then he is a tameh keri. He is tameh, as the Torah calls him, mikerei laila, from an occurrence of the night, so we call it tameh keri. Tome from an occurrence, that person when he goes to mikvah must wait till nightfall. It's not enough that he goes to mikvah, then he gets one level of purity, he gets complete purity when nightfall settles in. So Kohen may not eat teruma, the food that is given to him, 1/50 of the grains, dagon, tirosh, v'yitzar, the wines and the oil, and the other fruits rabbinically, those are biblical, the other fruits are rabbinic. The Kohen may not eat teruma unless he is in complete purity. When does he attain complete purity if he was tameh mikirei laila from an occurrence of the night? He gets complete purity when nightfall settles in. So the Mishnah says, you want to know when you could start reading Shema? From nightfall. But the Mishnah gives us a code. That same nightfall, that's the code for when the Kohen enters to eat his teruma. First question the Mishnah asks us, from when do we read Shema? Answer, from the time Kohanim enter to eat their teruma, from the time Kohanim are completely pure. Ad, then the Mishnah goes on to another question, until when may one read Shema? Till what time? The Mishnah says, Ad sofa shmura rishona, till the end of the first watch. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos, which is just interesting to note that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos is called Shamuti in the Talmud, a disciple of Shammai. We don't paskin halacha like him, and yet Rebbe saw fit to place him as the first Tana in Shas. So Rabbi Eliezer says, that Shema must be read within the first watch of the night, which is the first third or the first quarter of the night, as we will see in the Gemara. They usually had change of the guards two or three times during the night, so the night was divided either into thirds or quarters. So the question here again, is this biblical or rabbinic? And the Gemara seems to understand it is biblical, that Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that the word b'shoch b'chari shma, when you lie down, means when people go to lie down. Really, people are lying down all night long. But Rabbi Lezer understood that b'shoch b'cha means the time that people are lying down, actively lying down. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer says, shma must be read within the first third or first quarter of the night. B'chachamim omrim. And the sages say, ad chatzot, till midnight. Now, ordinarily, we don't have mitzvahs till midnight. Pesach is the exception. But ordinarily, you have mitzvahs of the day, and then you have a few mitzvahs of the night, and the mitzvahs of the night, as we saw in the Mishnah and Megillah at the end of the second chapter, mitzvahs of the night are relevant throughout the night, mitzvahs of the day are relevant throughout the day. You remember that, right? So that's the general rule. When Chachamim say, till chatzos, that needs work. What are they talking about? Seems rabbinic. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel says, ad she'aleh amud ha-shachar, one may read Shema till the morning, till amud ha-shachar, the pillar of the morning comes up, whatever that is. Ma'aseh, the Mishnah tells us a story. Uvav banav mi bet ha-mishteh, his sons came from a party, from some kind of wedding or some kind of festive drinking occasion. Ameru lo, they said to him, lo karinu et Shema, we haven't yet read Shema. They come home in the wee hours of the morning, their father's up. He said to them, if the morning hasn't come yet, you are obligated to read. And this isn't the only time that our sages said this, that really the obligation is till the morning. Even though the sages say till midnight, his children were coming and asking him, what do the sages say? Abba, we know you hold till the morning. Do the sages agree with you when they say till midnight, or do they say, no? You didn't make it by midnight, then you can't. Because even though you're our father, but, you know, Yochid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. You go with the majority opinions. They said to them, no, the sages agree with me. That if you didn't make it by midnight, then say it later in the, until the morning. And not only that, he said to them, Ela kol mashamu chachamim ad chatzot. Any instance, the sages said, till midnight, mitzvatan ad shaleh amud ha-shachar. Their mitzvah applies till the morning. Ekter chalavim ve'varim, we saw this in the Mishnah and Megillah, the offering of the different parts of the sacrifice, the fats and the limbs that are not a part of the kapara. We know there are parts of the karban that they detain the kapara. They're the main part of the karban. After you brought that, the person gains atonement. What about the rest of the karban that's brought on the altar? Those limbs, they may be brought mitzvatan atchalem udashachal. They may be brought till the morning. V'chol anechalim liyom echad, and sacrifices that have a deadline of being consumed within one day, mitzvatan atchalem udashachal. So they can be eaten until the morning. Notice that in kodshim, regarding holy things, the day goes day and then night. Out of kodshim, in Judaism, we always say the day begins with the night. Right? The Shabbos begins with the night between Friday and Shabbos. In all instances, the day begins with the night, except for in Kachim. When it comes to holy sacrifices, the Torah says you have to eat them within a day. It means that day, and the following night goes with that day. Mm-hmm. Not like regular, not like Chulin. So, when it comes to Nechalin Yom Echad, foods that must be consumed within one day, mitzvatan atchala amud ha-shachar, the mitzvah is to consume them till the morning. Im ken, if so, lama amhu chachamim at chatzot, why did the sages say, till midnight? Why did the sages say to midnight with regard to Kriyat Shema and consuming the holy foods? To distance a person from sin. So the sages said, say your Shema by midnight. The sages say, eat your holy foods by midnight, because if you don't eat them by midnight, you might end up leaving them over till the morning, and that is a prohibition. So the sages wanted us to rush to fulfill the mitzvahs by midnight. Who's up past midnight anyways? So they didn't want us thinking, oh, I'll get it, and then before you know it, it's the morning. No. Sages said, get the job done by midnight. So, okay. Here there's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, okay, if the Mishnah says you have to reach Ma from the time, from the time the stars come out, from nightfall, from the time the Kohanim enter. So Rashi says, so then how come we read Shema earlier? We read Shema and Shul earlier. Our minyanim, like the Sfagdi minyanim here, come daven here tonight, Mincha Ma'ariv. You'll see they daven Mincha just before sunset, and then right away Ma'ariv. Before the stars come out, before it's really nightfall. So how come we read Shema earlier? So Rashi says that's because we have to daven Ma'ariv earlier. Everyone's going home. And we want to daven Ma'ariv coming off of words of Torah. That's not to fulfill our obligation of saying Shema. Technically, we fulfill our obligation with the Shema we say at home in bed. In bed, we only read the first parsha. That's a fulfillment of the obligation. So we have to understand what Rashi means. How come you only read the first parsha? We say the first two parshiot are biblical. If that's if we're working off of the understanding that Shema is biblical, so how can Rashi say what we read in shul, that's to fulfill the obligation to come off of learning Torah into prayer? So we read Shema as learning Torah, and then we roll into the Arvit. And when do we fulfill our obligation of reading Shema? That's before we go to sleep, the Shema we read then. That's what Rashi says here. And that needs a lot of work. And it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch seems to go with Rashi. Rashi's big chiddush here is, and it's not really a chiddush, that if you read before Tzeis HaKochavim, you have not fulfilled your obligation. And that's a simple reading of the Mishnah, right? Along comes Tosfos, and gives us a bam chiddush that's quoted in the Rosh and others. And along comes Tosfos and tells us, you know, we have two things we do every night. We read Shema, and then we say the blessings around Shema and Shmon Esrei. So, with regard to Shmon Esrei, the Arvit, so that we're going to see there's a machloket. When do you have to read Arvit? When do you say Arvit? Does the time for Arvit begin like Shema at Tzeis HaKochavim? Or does the time for Arvit really begin at Plag HaMincha? Technically, there was a deadline by which they would always finish bringing the mincha sacrifice, the tamid shel ben arba'im. And there's a machloket in the Mishnah, but when did they bring it? So, and at what time does the nighttime relief for the sacrifices, when they start doing the nighttime things? So Rav Yehuda says, till plag mincha. And Chachamim say, no, till nightfall. The Gemara says, we don't have a conclusion, and whoever wants to could say mincha till plag mincha, before plag, and say ma'ariv after plag mincha. So far, so good? Mm-hmm. So with regard to the prayer of mincha and ma'ariv, the Gemara brings two opinions, and gives them both validity. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's not only with regard to the prayer of Shmona Esrei, we can apply that to the obligation to say Shema. Now that's a huge chiddush. Shema, we're understanding at this point, is biblical. You got to say Shema at night, b'shacho, when you go to bed. And the Shmona Esrei, that's for sure not biblical. So the rabbi said, the Shmona Esrei, the evening prayer, could be, you could say, from plag. We don't have a definitive ruling, and you could say it from plag. If you daven mincha always before plag, you could daven ma'ariv just after plag. What about the Shema? So that, according to the Mishnah, you'll have to say late at night. Mm-hmm. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, just like you could say Shema, just like you could say Shmon Esrei just after plag, so too you'd be able to say Shema just after plag. Huge chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Notice that Rashi differs. If Rashi agreed with that chiddush, Rashi would have said that the reason we read Shema early in shul is to fulfill that obligation. Okay, there's another few chiddushim and tosus here, but with our limited time, we'll have to stick to that. That's the main point we need to know. Yeah.
So, Rabbeinu Tam is saying that you can fulfill your obligation after plag mincha.
Correct.
Some people hold by Rabbeinu Tam.
Certainly.
I thought Rabbeinu Tam was like later.
That's a different opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. That's an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. When is nightfall? When is Tzeis HaKochavim?
Uh-huh.
It's a different question.
But regardless, he says you can do it after plug in.
Yeah. Okay, so our Gemara begins. Tana Heicha Koi. Where's the Tana going on? The Gemara begins, you know, the Ketani for the Tana begins with Me'emasai. From when? From when do you read Shema? Says the Gemara, hold your horses. Who said you have to read Shema? Where are you coming off of that I'm supposed to know that you have to read Shema? You're beginning Shas, and it's as though reading Shema is a given, and then you begin the Shas with a question, hey, when do you start? What is that? Who says I start? Where'd that come from? So, Tana Hicha Koi Diktoni Meyei Masai. Question number one, says the Gemara, is where's the Tana coming from? Where's he going on? That he's telling me from when? Vitu, and further, my shno ditoni arvis bereisho. What's different here that he begins with the nighttime first? Lismi de shachris bereisho. Let him speak about the morning first. Why does he begin with nighttime? If you're going to talk to me about Shema, begin with the day Shema and then work your way to the nighttime Shema. Answers the Gemara, Tano akro koi. The Tano is going on the pasuk. In the pasuk, it says you have to read Shema dichtiv, because the pasuk says you have to read Shema bishoch b'cho u'b'kumecho, when you lie down and when you wake up. So you see, the order of the pasuk is when you lie down, nighttime first. That's why here we've killed two birds with one stone. We've given an answer to both questions. A, you want to know where he knew you have to read Shema? It's in the pasuk. And B, that's why he went in this order. Now, you see off the bat, you see from this setup of the Gemara, that the Gemara didn't take it for granted that you have to read Shema biblically. You know, the Gemara doesn't begin tractate Sukkah and say, where'd you get this concept from that you need a Sukkah? The Mishnah over there also begins with a Sukkah that's higher, that's lower. The Gemara doesn't begin tractate Shabbos and say, hey, where'd you get this concept from? You gotta keep Shabbos. It's pretty obvious. It says in the Torah, you gotta keep Shabbos. You gotta build a Sukkah. The Gemara does begin the tractate of Brachos with the question, where'd you get this concept from? You gotta say Shema. So you see that the Gemara is already indicating to you, this isn't so simple, that Shema is biblical, this isn't so obvious. The Gemara has to ask the question, where'd you get that from? And that should bother us. But we know why. Because we know it's really going to be a machlokas later on in the Gemara. And the truth is, even in Halacha, it's not so clear how we come out. We generally say Shema is biblical, and that's how Shulchan Aruch goes, and that's how the general poskim go. But it's not so simple. It's not so obvious. And that's why this Gemara, the Gemara is asking a serious question. The Gemara isn't just saying, hey, where'd you come from? Oh, from the Pasuk, yeah, okay, good. No, the Gemara is asking a real question and giving a real answer. And the question is, who said you have to read Shema? And the answer is, oh, that Pasuk, that's a real derivation. It's not just in a smachta. That's how the Gemara is going now, and we will see later that not everyone agrees to that. Yes? Okay. The hachi ketani, and whenever we have a hachi ketani, it's a miniature chisuri mechsera. You remember that? Once the Gemara says the code hachi k'omar or hachi ketani, what those words mean is this is what he means to say. In other words, I'm going to explain the Mishnah slightly differently than what the words actually say. I'm going to tell you this is what they mean to say. Zman kriyat shma deshchiva eimat. When is the time of reading Shema? Of lying down. Misha'a shakohanim nichnasin lechol b'trumatan. From the time that kohanim enter to eat their truma. That's answer number one to the two questions. So far, so good? You?
Sorry, v'shobcha v'chumecha didn't attempt to answer the two questions either?
It did. That answers both questions. The Torah says, when you lie down and when you wake up. So that teaches me you have to reach man. That also talks about the night before the day. So that's the order the Tana adopted as well. Yehuda? Yeah. Says the Gemara now answer number two. Ve'iba'it, and if you want, Ema, I could tell you another answer. Yaliv mi b'riato shel olam. Now we're only attempting to answer the second question. The second question was, why this order? Why does he proceed with discussing the nighttime Shema and only then speak about the daytime Shema? If you want, I'll tell you, Yalif, he derives it mibriyato shel olam, from the creation of the world, dichtiv, for it says in the creation of the world, vayhi erev, vayhi voker yom echad. It was evening, it was morning, day one. So you see that evening came before morning. You see in the Torah, the night comes before the day. So if the night comes before the day, as we see in every day of creation, you had evening and then morning. You had night and then day. God creates day one. You have night, then day, day one. Night, then day, day two. So the night is always when the day begins, right? Day begins with Shkia, with that Tzeis HaKochavim, I'm sorry. So that's how I know that the night comes first, and that's why the Tana first discusses the nighttime Shema.
This is like a second answer to back up the first one?
Or? Not to back up, an alternate answer, on the second question. Uh-huh. This doesn't answer how I know that Shema is biblical. Where did I get the concept of Shema from? That answer, you have to rely on the first pasuk. But on the second question of why in this order, so I could tell you it's not a concept of Shema, but rather it's a concept that's a general concept. In all of Torah, night comes before day. According to the first answer I answered, why with regard to Shema I speak about the night before the day. According to this answer, it's not specifically about Shema. It's in all of Torah, night comes before the day. So far, so good? Okay. I hachi. What does I hachi mean?
If so.
What does that indicate to us? That the question the Gemara is about to ask is a direct product of something I just said. Meaning, up until you told me that, I didn't have a question. So whenever you have a I hachi, you have to look back to the previous line and say, wait a second, what did I just say that troubled you? How come until I said this line everything made sense and now you got a question? So sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's blatant, and sometimes it's not so obvious, such as here, and that's what the Tosus points out here. Ihachi, if so, meaning if so, that in all of Torah the night comes before the day. Seifa, and then later on in the Mishnah, not this Mishnah, later Mishnah, diktani that the Mishnah reverses the order and says, in the morning Shema, you make two blessings prior to the Shema, and one after the Shema. And in the nighttime Shema, you make two blessings prior to the Shema, and two blessings after the Shema. So then how come that Mishnah discusses the morning Shema before the nighttime Shema? Why doesn't he discuss the nighttime Shema first? If you're going to tell me that globally night always comes before day, so why does the later Mishnah speak about day before night? Answers the Gemara, Tana patach be'arvit. The Tana begins discussing the night. Then he went on to discuss the morning Shema. Ad dekai b'shacharit, as he was already discussing the morning Shema at the end of the Mishnah. So he went on to the next Mishnah, Pirush Milei d'shacharit. He went on to explain things that pertain to that morning Shema, such as the blessing. And then he went back to the nighttime Shema. It's just like he's finishing off this topic. Did you guys learn the Mishnayos? So why does this make any sense to you?
Why does this make any sense? I don't know, maybe...
What's supposed to be bugging you?
There's Mishnah in between.
Right. Yeah. What kind of answer is that? What do you mean? You're talking about the morning, so you finished off talking about the morning, then you went back to the night. You went off on 10 tangents. You have quite a few Mishnayot before you get to that. Okay.
Who addresses this question?
You will, one day. You're right in the side of your Gemara, a very good answer. Okay. Now, let's hone our Tosfos skills a little bit. Okay? So, let's recap. What did the Gemara just do? The Gemara said, where'd you get this concept from that you got to say Shema?
Okay.
The Gemara said, says, B'shachol kumecha. Read this parsha when you lie down, when you wake up. And that's how I know the order of night before day. That was point number one. Then the Gemara said, maybe night comes before day because the Torah describes an alternate answer. The Torah describes creation. Nighttime then day, right? Vayir vayivoker. The Gemara said, if so, then why'd you begin with the morning in the later Mishnah? The Gemara says, I wasn't beginning with the morning. I was continuing this Mishnah. I discussed the nighttime Shema. Then I discussed the morning Shema. While I'm talking about the morning Shema, I discuss the blessings of the morning Shema. And then I come back to the nighttime Shema. It's not that Mishnah is really reversing the order and discussing the morning Shema before the nighttime Shema.
Okay.
Now, the Gemara took a position in the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara said, where's the Tana coming from that he assumes he got to read Shema? And then the Gemara says, and why does he say the nighttime Shema first? Let him discuss the morning Shema first. So why don't we say, and who told you to discuss morning first? Why are you taking a position morning should come before night? Where is the Gemara coming off of that the Gemara has this assumption? You should have started with the morning. Who said? Maybe I should have started with the night. If the Gemara would have said, who knows, is there a reason? That's fine. But if the Gemara is saying, why'd you start with the night? You should have started with the morning. That means that something's bothering the Gemara. The Gemara is taking a position, you know. I would have expected something different. So we have to notice those words. The Gemara says in the second line in the Gemara, Litni de Shacharit Bereisha, let us say the morning first. So who says? Why was that so obvious to the Gemara? So Tosus answers in six words. Tosus says, Kede Ashkechan Bitamid, Tosus listening, three lines where Tosus get wide. Kede Ashkechan Bitamid, as we find with regard to the Tamid sacrifice, Dichtiv Shel Boker Tchila, that says the morning sacrifice first. Okay? So Tosus says, just like we find with the sacrifice, the morning sacrifice comes before the nighttime sacrifice. Oh, our Parsha. So, if we were a little bit more awake, then we would ask, okay, Tosis, and I'll find you other mitzvahs that discuss the nighttime first. What's the connection? What's Tosis time? Okay, great. So, Talmud sacrifice discusses the morning first, and on Pesach discusses the night first. Okay?
Well, he's talking about the Kohanim here, so maybe that's the connection.
I think the Kohanim is just a sign. You want to know what time? Look at the Kohanim.
Yeah, see, if you're looking at the Kohanim, and then when you're talking about Korbanot, which the Kohanim eat.
Wait, but I'm not talking about Korbanot. I'm talking about my obligation to read Shema. So Tosafos is saying, why did I think I should discuss the morning Shema before the nighttime Shema? Because I find when it comes to sacrifices, the Torah discusses the morning sacrifice before the nighttime sacrifice. Okay, so? So firstly, you guys could answer me, Tosafos is going in line with Rabbeinu Tam. That we discussed earlier, that Rabbeinu Tam said that Shema goes directly with the obligation of Shmona Esrei. Remember Rabbeinu Tam's Chiddush? He said just like Shmona Esrei could be read from Plaga Mincha onward because of the sacrifice, that the afternoon sacrifice was limited till Plag, and then starts the nighttime in the temple. So by the same token, Shema goes with the nighttime Arvit and could start from Plag. So Tosus Lishito, so Tosus going in line with his opinion that he said that Shema has a direct correlation with my obligation to say Shmona Esrei. We said that's a big chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Shmona Esrei is rabbinic. It's aligned with the Korbanos, but it's rabbinic. Rabbeinu Tam came along and said, just like Shmona Esrei could be read, the nighttime Shmona Esrei could be read from Plag, so too we'll say Shema could be read from Plag. So we said, what's the connection? We don't know the connection. Rabbeinu Tam taught us a big chiddush that Shema and Shmona Esrei go hand in hand. Why? I don't know why. But Tosus, going in line with his own opinion over here, could say, okay, well, if Shema and Shmona Esrei go hand in hand, then maybe Shema should go like the Shmona Esrei, which goes like the Korbanos, which begins with the morning. So that's one possible answer. An alternate possible answer is that Tosus is revealing to us a very deep insight here. Remember, we said that in all of Torah, the day begins with the night. You have nighttime, you have Friday night, which is Shabbos, and then you have Shabbos day. Comes the night, and it's Matzah Shabbos, it's already Sunday, right? The night always is the beginning of the day. Yes? So we said, when it comes to Kachim, it's the opposite. You have the morning, and then the night. And Matzah Shabbos is really an extension of Shabbos. And Friday night is really an extension of Friday in the temple. Right? We said in the temple, it goes the other way around. So Tosa says, the Gemara was coming off of Kachim. By Kachim, we discussed the morning first. Yeah, by Kachim it makes sense, because the day begins with the morning. Right? So by Kachim, I understand why you discuss the morning sacrifice before the afternoon sacrifice. Because the morning sacrifice comes first. Maybe Tosus is revealing to us that there's an aspect that Shema is like Kachim. Don't think Shema is just this obligation to read words of Torah, to accept that God is running the world. No, there's an aspect, and we will see this, I don't know if we'll get a chance to see it, but as you learn Tosus in Brachos, you'll see that Tosus keeps giving us these hints The Tosa seems to view Shema as something that that goes hand in hand with the Korbanos. Shema is like just like there's the Korbanos you bring in the temple, there's something you're supposed to do privately at home called reading Shema. And it's not just that you're making a declaration God is one. No, this mitzvah is connected to the service of the temple. Somehow it has kachim attributes, or at least I would think it has certain kachim attributes. That's possibly what Tosus is telling us here.
Doesn't all tefillah have a connection with
tefillah? Does, but we said we wouldn't think that Shema is like tefillah. Shema seems to be its own thing. Tefillah is the rabbinic correspondence to sacrifice. But Shema, on the surface, is a biblical obligation. It's a totally separate mitzvah. So this goes in line with the first answer we said, that Tosus seems to say Shema is like tefillah. Right? Tosus puts Shema in that same category as tefillah.
Okay, okay, okay. Rabbi Natan holds that tefillah is rabbinic.
I think everyone holds that tefillah is rabbinic on some level. And everyone holds that tefillah is biblical on some level. The only machloket we find Ramban is, do we say once a day is biblical? You have a biblical obligation to speak to your Creator once a day to ask Him something. Or do you say no, you don't have that obligation every day, you just have that obligation in times of need. That's a machloket Ramban. I don't know what Rabbeinu Tam holds on that. Okay. Okay. Now, Tosis Ihochi explains to us, why is this a question only if you say that second answer we gave? Remember, the Gemara offered a second answer and said, Ihochi, if so, if that's correct, that in all of Torah, nighttime comes before daytime, then why did the other Mishnah reverse the order? Tosis goes into why that's a question only according to that answer. Learn the Tosis on your own if you want. Okay? We got to move forward. Amar Mar. The teacher said, we said earlier. Are we all together?
Yeah,
you guys with me? Are we going too fast, too deep? Yeah, we're going too fast, too deep?
No?
Okay. We okay, yeah? Amar Mar. So we said earlier that Shema may be read Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasin Lechol B'Trumatam, from the time that Kohanim enter to eat their Truma. You see the Kohanim going in to eat their truma. You know it's Tzeis HaKochavim. You know the stars have come out. It's nightfall. And that's the time from when you may read Shema. The Gemara says Mechdi. Let's analyze this. Kohanim, Eimat Kach Litruma. When do Kohanim eat their truma? Mishat Tzeis HaKochavim. From the time that the stars come out. Litni Mishat Tzeis HaKochavim. So why didn't the Mishnah just tell us simply, from when do you read Shema? From the time that the stars come out. Wouldn't that have been simpler? Why did the Mishnah have to tell me from the time that Kohanim go in to eat the Truma? Then I have to scratch my head and say, gee, when's that? Ah, oh, that's Tzeis HaKochavim. Ah, so I could reach Mah from Tzeis HaKochavim. Why did the Mishnah do that?
Okay.
Says the Gemara, Milsa Agavurcha Kam Mashmalon. The Mishnah taught us something, by the way, you guys prefer I read with a Hebrew accent or English accent? Ashkenazis or Ashkenazit? What's easier for you to understand?
Israeli Ashkenazit. But I don't have a problem with the Ashkenazi.
I'm indifferent.
It's not that big a difference. Whatever you do.
If it... No, no, no.
It's fine.
Huh?
How have you been reading right now?
I've been reading Milso Agavurcha Kamashmalan. I didn't say Milta Agavurcha Kamashmalan.
I didn't even notice.
No, if it disturbs your concentration, even a little bit, then it's worth switching. Yeah, Yehuda? They don't care, but you seem to have...
Okay, fine.
Switched... okay.
I like your Ashkenazi voice.
What? If it disturbs concentration even a little, it's not worth it.
Okay.
So what's... Huh?
Okay.
So then switch?
Yeah.
Okay. Milta agavucha kamashmalan. He's teaching us something, by the way. Kohanim imat ka'ach lebitruma. When do Kohanim eat their truma? No, let's just pause for a second. Really, the rule is that lo'olam yomar adam b'lshon rabo. Person is supposed to quote things the way he heard it from his Rebbe. So really, I should stick to Ashkenazis. Because that's the way I was taught. That's why traditionally we were taught. But we, being that our goal here is to learn, and it's not like we're going to be learning right now, at least the agenda is not yet for us to be learning long term. So it's not that type of relationship, meaning if we were learning for 15 years, so then part of what you have to learn is how you read a piece of Gemara. So Ashkenazis happens to be the traditional way. It's a whole new thing, this Ibu accent. It's an invention of Ben Yehuda. You know, it's not exactly Sephardi, it's not exactly Ashkenazi, it's not exactly anything. But here, being that we're learning, unfortunately, right now, we don't have long-term plans yet. So in the interest of short term, so Chazal say that you have to make sure that people understand you as best as possible. The Gemara says, a person is always supposed to speak clean language, except for if you're teaching, and then the students won't understand you as well. If you use clean language and you'll try to say something in 10 different metaphors, but you won't say it directly, so then the Gemara says, speak short, concise, and accurate, even if you have to use foul language to get them to understand the concept, because better they understand you exactly right than you try to speak clean language and you're not sure they got you right, or they'll have a harder time remembering you. Okay. So we see that the concept of getting the point across is very, very important, and that's why Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that when they came to America, they should start teaching in English. That's what the kids understand. Talk to them the language they understand. So in line with all of that, I'm saying here that we're only, right now, our plans are relatively short term, so I don't have this goal of getting the exact way that my Rebbeim read the Gemara across. My more important goal is that we get the concepts, and that's why even for a small amount of understanding, it's worthwhile to me to switch to the Hebrew accent. Even though technically the Gemara, the Mishnah quotes in Eduyos that even things that Shammai and Hillel, they learned from Shmaya and Avtalion. So Shmaya and Avtalion were Gerim, and they couldn't pronounce the hey well. You see the, a lot of people today also, you go to America, you have all kinds of things, the ches they can't pronounce. So in those days they couldn't pronounce the hey. So alright, that's the Mishnah, exactly, Melohin. The Mishnah discusses how much volume of water disqualifies a mikvah. So, Shammai Omer, Melo Hin Maim Shuvin Posan Samikvah. A full hin. So the Mishnah says, what do you mean? Anytime you speak about a measurement, you're talking about a full measurement. You say a hin, you mean a full hin. Why did you have to say a full hin? Obviously, you say a hin, you mean one whole hin. So the Gemara Mishnah says, because he learned by Shmaya Naftalion. Shmaya Naftalion couldn't pronounce the hey. They didn't want their students to hear them saying, "In maim shuvin posan es mikvah." Water that's drawn do not disqualify the mikvah. So they said, "Melohin." They added the melo, a full in maim shuvin posan es mikvah. Then the students would hear, a full in, okay, they mean a hin, they don't mean ain. So Shammai, when he quoted the Mishnah, even though he was a regular Jew, he could say hin, but he quoted it the way his Rebbeim taught him. The same way he heard it from Shmaya and Avtalion, that's the way he quoted it. So see, Chazal held very strongly, you got to be very accurate in how you quote things, even on small nuances like that. And nonetheless, here, I think that in the interest of making sure we have clear understanding, we got to go with the accent that's easiest. Okay, so back to our Gemara. We had said in the Mishnah that Shema may be read from the time that Kohanim entered to read Shema, entered to eat their Truma. We asked, what time is that? That's Tzeisa Kohanim, when the stars come out. We asked, so why didn't the Mishnah just tell me when the stars come out? So the Gemara answers, three lines before the lines get wide. Mileta agav uche kamashmalan. He taught us something by the way. And that's the style of the Mishnayot. That very often they like to teach us things by the way. While you're reviewing this Mishnah, you'll end up knowing another useful piece of information. Kohanim ematkach lebituma. When do Kohanim eat teruma? Mishat tzeta kochavim. From the time that the stars come out. So the Mishnah wanted to teach me that point. So the Mishnah said, from when do we reach Shema night? From the time that Kohanim enter to eat teruma. So then I say, wait a second, and when they eat teruma? And I say, the Mishnah must mean Tzeisa Kochavim. And now I, by the way, I ended up learning that Kohanim eat Truma from Tzeisa Kochavim. Now, what would I have thought otherwise? V'hakamashmanan, this is what the Mishnah really taught me. The kapara lo me'akva, that if they had an impurity that required a sacrifice as well. So sometimes a person has an impurity that, let's say he's a zav. So he has to immerse in the mikvah. And after he immerses in the mikvah, he has to wait till sundown. And after sundown, the next morning, he has to bring a sacrifice. So I might think, until he brings the sacrifice, he's not completely pure. You see that as a result of his impurity, the Torah obligates him to bring a sacrifice. I might think, hey, Mr. Cohen, don't you eat truma till you've brought your sacrifice as well. The next morning, came along the Mishnah and said to me, from when do you reach Shema at night? From the time that Kohanim entered to eat their truma. So I say, hey, gee, Kohanim start eating truma at night? When do Kohanim start eating truma at night? I'm talking about the nighttime Shema, right? You see, Kohanim eat truma at night already. They don't have to wait till the next morning when they bring the sacrifice. So I've learned another useful piece of information as I read this Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah taught me. I knew that Kohanim, their purity moves up a notch after they've gone to mikvah, and then you have tesa kochav. That I knew, but I didn't know whether that notch allows them to eat teruma. For example, korbanos they may not eat until they bring their sacrifice. They're mechusar kapara. They're lacking their sacrifice, their atonement, and that atonement we see is connected to the impurity. Does it also impinge on their capacity to eat teruma? The Mishnah teaches us, by the way, that not. Vehakamashmalan, and this is what the Mishnah taught me, the kapara lo me'akva, that the forgiveness, the atonement, does not detain. Me'akva is like me'akiv, to detain. Kiditanya, as we find this concept in the Braisa, and very often the Mishnayos will teach me, by the way, they'll teach me concepts that are overtly mentioned in a Braisa. And even if it's overtly mentioned in a Mishnah, could be another Mishnah will remind me of the concept. By the way, if I could, I remind you of a concept that you should know. So what does the Braisa say? What we learned yesterday, and we've learned many times, you want to understand things well, open up a Chumash. So let's go get Chumashim. We're opening to Vayikra, the 22nd chapter in the Christian editions. And in our Jewish editions too, they adopted that. Look at that. Vayikra. The chapters are a Christian monk divided the Torah into chapters, not our tradition. So, the Torah describes... Yeah, page 364 in these Chumashim, where we are holding in Sheni of Parshas and more. So let's see. Pasuk Dalit. Ish, ish. You have it? Ish, ish. A person, a man. Mizer Aaron, from the seed of Aaron, we're talking about a Kohen. Vehu tzarua ozav. And he has tzaras, he has that white blemish, or he had that flow, which we've discussed many times, what that flow is. So he's tameh. Bakodashim lo yochal. He may not eat from the holy foods. Adashayitav. Till he becomes pure. Vanoga bechol tmei nefesh. And the same applies for a person who touches anyone that's tameh from a soul. O isha shatetzeh memenu shichvat tzera. Or zara. Or a person who emits seed. Or a person who touches one of the eight creepy, crawly creatures that cause a person to be tameh. Or by he touches a human being that makes him tameh. They're all different types of tumah. So we've encompassed many different types of tumah the pasuk is discussing. Any one of these, nefesh asher tigabo, a person who touches any one of these, he becomes defiled till nighttime. And he may not eat the holy foods till he washes his flesh in water, which means he goes to mikvah. So if he touches any one of these things, he becomes tameh, he must go to mikvah. And then the sun will set, and he will become tahor. As the sun sets, that's what we said, this concept. When the sun comes down, That's when he has complete purity. It's not enough that he goes to mikvah. After mikvah, he has to wait till sundown. And after that, he may eat from the holy foods, kilachmohu, for that is his bread. Okay, so let's keep our chumashim open. And unfortunately, at this point, we must pause. So we're pausing at the beginning of a sugiya. And we'll have to pick up here next time. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Okay. The next sugiya will take us 5-10 minutes, so we can't run into it. Okay, so we saw these psukim, and next time, please, let's have the chumashim ready, and we'll start over here.
What would you advise?